So coming off a two-month-long preparation, celebration, and jubilation from Elul through Simchas Torah, we are lowered back down into reality, facing a world and a calendar bare of any Yom Tov for quite some time, seeking opportunities for inspiration, stimulation, and motivation. We look to our parsha, the very first parsha of all of Chumash, the very beginning of time. What could our mindset be now that Yom Tov is all over? How can we find Hashem in our everyday life without the celebrations of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah? What does our parsha this week teach us in keeping that flame alive? There's a Mishnah tucked away in Maseches Kelim, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Yud Dalet, that makes a remarkable observation about the days of creation and its correlation to halachas of Tumah. I know we get very scared when we hear about Tumah. It's not so bad. So the Mishnah states that certain days of creation had materials that were created on that day. That if you take those materials of that day and fashion a vessel, you make a kli out of it, it could be subject to Tumah. Yet other days of creation had no such creations of our subject to Tumah. Allow me to demonstrate. On the very first day of creation, the land was created. If a kli were to be made from dirt, from land, from clay adama, it's susceptible to Tumah. On the second day of creation, the sky was created. The sky, Shemayim, is not susceptible to Tumah. There's no Tumah in Shemayim. On day three, the third day of creation, the trees were created. If a vessel were to be made from wood, it is susceptible to Tumah. And the fourth day of creation, the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars were created, and the solar system cannot become Tumah. The fifth day of creation, the birds and fish were created, both of which are not subject to Tumah. Now Thursday, the fifth day, is a little bit unique, because although that which was created on Thursday is not subject to Tumah, the Chachamim created a Tumah Dirabanan on certain species of birds. So there's no Tumah Midiraisa, but there's a Tumah Midirabanan on Thursday. And finally, the sixth day of creation, animals were created, and vessels made from animals are subject to Tumah. So some days have creations that are not subject to Tumah, while other days have creations that are subject to Tumah. So this is the observation of the Mishnah Maseches Kelim. So what's the significance of these days? Why did the Mishnah point this out? What difference does it make which days created items that are subject to Tumah, which days did not? So the great Yid HaKadosh has an extraordinary idea which sheds such incredible light on this Mishnah and incredible light to our lives. And it's so apropos for this time of after Yom Tov, the first week of Bereishis. Two of the holiest days of the year are celebrated in two opposite ways. They cannot be any further apart, Yom Kippur and Purim. Yom Kippur is a day of complete separation, abstinence, and self-restraint. Yom Kippur, just stay away from eating and drinking and everything else that's enjoyable. Purim, on the other hand, is a day of drinking, of feasting, of overindulging. And yet, both days are held high as days of boundless Kedusha. More so, as well known from the Zohar, that the Kedusha of Purim surpasses the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, despite seemingly the sacrilegious approach to the day. So in the calendar, so we have Purim and Yom Kippur. So in the calendar, there are only certain days of the week on which Yom Kippur can fall. And there are different sets of days on which Purim can fall. So it just so happens that the days of creation, the days of the week, where nothing, Tameh, was created, are the days of the week in which Yom Kippur can occur. In other words, on a Monday and a Wednesday and Shabbos. Monday, the Shemayim is created. There's no Tumah in the Shemayim. That's the day Yom Kippur could fall out. Wednesday, the solar system, that's the day Yom Kippur could fall out. And Shabbos, where nothing was created, those are 3 days a week Yom Kippur could fall out. We're going to come back to Thursday in just a moment. The reason, perhaps, obvious, is that Yom Kippur is a day divorced entirely from that which is mundane, that which is contaminated, that which is Tameh. Yom Kippur is completely full of Kedusha. On the other hand, the days on which items, creations that can become Tameh are the days that Purim could fall. So on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, on a Friday, these days were Sunday where the land was created, and so on, these were the days that Purim could fall out on a Sunday and a Tuesday and a Friday. And the reason here is that Purim has the unique ability to engage in the world of the physical, the world of the enjoyment, and to elevate it to a place of Kedusha. Purim is able to go head on with Kedusha, with Tumah, and elevate it to a place of Kedusha. And as for Thursday, both Yom Kippur and Purim can actually occur on Thursday. That's the one day that they both could be challah. The explanation is that on a biblical level, on a Torah level, everything created on the fifth day, there's no tumah. Nothing tumah midrash. Everything created, fish and the birds, there's no tumah. Thus Yom Kippur can occur, because there's no tumah on Thursday. But on a rabbinical level, the Chachamim established that certain species can become tumah. And therefore Purim, which is rabbinic, can also occur on Thursday in order to elevate the Tumah Midrabanan that exists on the fifth day of creation, Thursday. What a remarkable idea about Purim and Yom Kippur and the creation of the world. So what does this mean for you and I? Yom Kippur is behind this, Purim is several months in front of us. We learn in Maseches Avos, Ezo Gibor HaKovish is Yitzro. Who is the one who's strong? One who overcomes his Yetzer Hara. The Baal Shem Tov explains that the word kovish can also mean to soak, to pickle, to allow something to season, to sit in the sauce, a certain develop itself. One who pickles, if you will, the Yetzer Hara. One who seasons it, one who develops it, that's the real Gibor. A mighty person, a strong person is one who can take his drive, his passion, his inclination, and redirect it. Not to squash it, not to crush it. That's who he is, that Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is a tool. It's the motor that drives us. Our job is to position ourselves that we propel it in the right direction. Purim is greater than Yom Kippur because it utilizes the Yetzer Hara. It leads us in the path of victory, the path of Hashem. By eating, drinking, and being merry with true intentions of Avodas Hashem. L'shem Shemai Mamish L'shma. That carries us from the days of awe to the months of the winter. Yes, it's very easy to be in high levels, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah. There's a lot of mitzvahs, there's a lot of singing, there's a lot of dancing. But now it's just regular. It's just eating, drinking, and going to work. But every day is a miniature Purim. In that we can elevate the mundane and sanctify the impure. With the start of Tav Shin Pei Aleph, we should keep in mind the opportunity we have every day to make a Kiddush Hashem in making His name known throughout the world. We should be zochet to see that day soon. V'haya, b'yom ahu, yeh Hashem echad, u'shmo echad.